My cherished friends and esteemed companions, allow me to welcome you to today's sermon. When we crane our necks and look out into the inky void of space, whilst we may be greeted by a wondrous display of awe-inspiring and beautiful stellar phenomena, there are true horrors to be found lurking out in the dark. We could spend countless hours reviewing the monstrous enemies of humanity which were born amidst the stars of the Milky Way, but rather unfortunately, it seems that in the near future that we may be forced to band together in a desperate alliance to fight off a foe which does not call this galaxy as their home. I would of course be referring to the intergalactic threat of the eternally reviled Tyranid menace. The ever-devouring hordes have drifted across the unimaginable distances which separate the many galaxies of the universe, and they have only done so for one malign purpose, and it is to feed. Imperial xenologists, Eldar Farseers, Tau Ethereals, and even Orc warbosses seem to have each figured out that the Tyranids have no goals in mind other than of those which relate to the consumption of all matter. The gestalt consciousness of the hive mind will corral and direct the endless swarms of lesser bioforms down onto a prey planet's surface, purely to eviscerate and devour all that they can uncover. Once satisfied, they will move on to the next world, and this process will continue until the entire galaxy has been left as an empty husk where the light of the fading stars is left to illuminate only barren hunks of rock, devoid of any potential to ever hold life once again. Since they first probed our worlds those many years ago, the Tyranids have maintained a common theme in their approach, and it would be that they are separated into immense clusters known as hive fleets. These are the great arms of their invasive species, being broken up into many tendrilled swarms, each of which has been observed to contain untold trillions of organisms. But they are each controlled by the same quasi-omniscience of the hive mind. Whilst these fleets are all stemmed from the same species, there are a number of significant differences which exist between them. This can include alterations in the actual biology of their creatures, with some being far more adapted to their sectors of space or of their tactics and strategies when it comes to invading a world. But because of these differences, the defenders of the galaxy will be forced to alter their own methods of repelling the extragalactic hordes, as time and time again, they have been recorded as displaying some startling differences between their approach. Whilst many of us are aware of the larger hive fleets, such as Behemoth, Kraken, or Leviathan, today they shall not be our focus, and instead we will look upon one of the smaller, yet arguably far more fascinating of tendrils. This would be none other than the hive fleet known as Kronos. And as we are to soon discover, it has proven itself to be a rather unique entity within the stars. Having only outstretched its bloated form into our stars fairly recently, our knowledge of its existence is fairly sparse, but as we shall discuss, they seem to stand with an extraordinarily rare taste for the immaterial flesh which was spawned from the foul chaos of the warp. To begin with, we will discuss everything which we have thus far uncovered regarding these Tyranids, including their first approach into our stars, and of the traits which have set them apart from the rest of the great tendrils. After this, we will delve into some of the more notable of battles which they have been involved in before finally speculating on their potential purpose and future path through the cosmos. But without further ado, we must now turn our attention far to the galactic southeast and look upon the fascinating tendrils of Hive Fleet Kronos. Even though they did not originate from the Milky Way, the Tyranids have undeniably become an incredibly iconic species during this chaotic period of our history. Though we are unsure as to the exact date of when they initially probed our galaxy, the first major incursion of a Tyranid hive fleet was recorded to have occurred in the year 741 of the 41st millennium, where the fleet coined as Behemoth charged in through the darkness of the Eastern Fringe. Around 200 years following on from this, it was Hive Fleet Kraken which then delved into our galaxy, once again moving in from a similar region of space, but this time in a far more disseminated and outstretched formation. The third major invasion came in the form of Leviathan, which seems to have invaded from below the galactic plane, and from its projections within Segmentum Tempestus, it seems poised to soon wrap its sickening tendrils around the holy iron cradle of Terra itself. Whilst it is from these three which have spawned the great tyrannic wars, there are dozens of minor hive fleets which have made their approach from the galactic border, many of which appear to be somewhat specialized in their function. We will soon delve into these differences, but just briefly, we should question as to why the fleets have been split in such a way. There is a fierce debate which exists within the scholariums of the Ordo Xenos, and it regards the actual nature of the swarms which we have thus far encountered. Some of the more optimistic of Inquisitors would believe that once we annihilate and scour the stars of the taint of these Tyranid fleets, that we will be safe from ever having to deal with them again. With that being said, however, there is a far darker and more insidious theory which does not agree with this view. There are some who believe that the Tyranids which we have thus far done battle with are simply the scouting arms of a far greater fleet, which is still approaching out of the inky void of intergalactic space, and that once it bears down upon us, that there will be no salvation from its rapacious hunger. Only time will tell to know of which theory is correct, but for now, all we can do is fight and outlast the approach of these unending hordes. Regardless of this, however, from what we have observed, each new hive fleet appears to have evolved in some way from the previously encountered fleets, and depending on where they invaded into the galaxy, there are vast differences between the members of the species. For example, the hive fleet known as Naga was relatively small. However, we may speculate that it was sent specifically to devour and subsume a large sample of the Eldari species. Whilst the fleet was almost entirely eliminated, thanks to the combined efforts of three craft worlds, the hive mind was still able to taste and incorporate a vast stock of Eldari DNA within its bioforms. Thanks to this, the Tyranids have since been able to produce more psychically active creatures, with the best example being of the Zoanthrope, which was only formed after Naga was able to feast upon the delectable biomass of hundreds of Farseers. It is rumored that one of these creatures, coined as the Doom of Malantai, was formidable enough to exterminate each and every surviving Eldari from one of their own craft worlds, and that after it gorged itself upon the Infinity Circuit, that it has arisen to a level of near unkillable power. Supposedly, the hive mind has gained the ability to reform this beast throughout the various war zones of the galaxy, and each time it grows in its psionic strength, bringing more and more terrible powers with it. But this brings us to an interesting point, and it is that the Tyranids appear to have the ability to selectively absorb certain traits from their consumed species. This When combined with the highly adaptive and rapid evolutionary paths which are taken by the bioforms in response to their foes, means that the hive fleets will become highly specialized against certain enemies or towards unique environments. This was recently witnessed during the Octarius War, where a major tendril of hive fleet Leviathan was directed towards a colossal orc empire within the Octarius sector. Though the two species appeared to be locked in the stalemate of war, it was the Tyranids who eventually gained the upper hand after evolving and adapting their lesser creatures to better combat the green-skinned hordes. As such, it seems that this war has concluded, with the only result being that the galaxy must now contend with Tyranids who have become far stronger and more durable against damage. But whilst these two examples are markedly different, there was one similarity between them, and it was that the hive mind feasted upon the warm flesh of both Eldari and Orc alike. It was from their own physical DNA that provided the fleets with the genetic material necessary for formulating new bioforms. But this now brings us to an interesting question. If the Tyranids can only become stronger from feasting upon the corporeal bodies of their foes, then what would happen if they were to fight against an enemy which innately did not possess a physical form, such as would be the case for the demonic legions of the warp? There would be no fallen biomass from which to gain any genetic information from, and they would have no nutritional stocks to replenish their losses with, so it would seem that fighting such a foe would be a fool's errand. And yet, as we are to soon discover, this is in fact not to be the case. With all of this in mind, we must now turn our attention to the Hive Fleet, which has been designated by Imperial Xenologists as Kronos. There is some speculation as to exactly when this tendril first pierced through into our galaxy, but we do know for certain that it only appeared in the aftermath of the formation of the Great Rift. Ever since the Tyranids as a species first probed our galaxy, it has been observed that they tend to avoid engaging in conflicts which would involve the scions of the ruinous powers. As I previously mentioned, they cannot feed upon the flesh of the demonkin, and so there is little to gain from committing a full tendril into a demon world. To descend upon a planet which is infested with the Neverborn, the Hive would simply be throwing away valuable resources to claim a territory which is innately devoid of valuable resources, and so they will instead choose to divert their fleets into other regions of space where there are more biological creatures to feast upon. Because of this, it has been noted that some tendrils of the Hive fleets have halted and rerouted their entire galactic approach simply to avoid sectors which are known to harbor a large presence of demonic forces. Most notably, we can see this when we look into Segmentum Obscurus, as there are very few major hive fleets to have delved into this region of the galaxy. This is likely due to the fact that the Eye of Terror stands as such a screeching and horrific mass of unreality that the Tyranids would gain nothing at all from sailing into its heart, and so whilst this region is infested with demons, it is likely to be safe from the extragalactic Tyranids for the foreseeable future. However, in recent years, this aversion to all things demonic seems to have taken a stark shift. As I had mentioned, since the formation of the Cicatrix Maledictum, we have now encountered the Tyranid hive fleet known as Kronos, and these bioforms seem to have taken up a taste for the otherworldly ichor of the warp-born demons. Having first appeared out from the southeastern fringe of the galaxy, this tendril has pierced its way into Segmentum Ultima, where it has taken a rather peculiar path through the stars. It may seem quite antithetical for the Tyranids to do this, but the fleets of Kronos seem to be tracing the path of the Great Rift, where it is spiraling upwards, seemingly moving towards the galactic core. This is clearly a massive departure from the regular tactics of the Tyranids to avoid areas which have a strong chaotic presence. However, for Kronos, they have developed several unique adaptations and tactics to deal with the immaterial forces. The first distinct feature of this Hive fleet would relate to their utilization of the shadow in the warp. This is a mysterious, yet horrifying psychic projection, which is produced by the Hive mind itself. And once it has been formed, it will exist as a strange, expansive bubble around the Hive fleets. It stands as something of a psionic cloud, which disrupts the connection between our plane of reality and with the hellish realms of the Chaos Gods. This shadow in the warp will be emitted across a truly vast range, potentially stretching out for hundreds of light years, as would be the case for some of the largest of fleets, and its effects will be the only early warning sign for a planet that they may soon be reduced to prey for the Tyranid Hive. For a world which has been enveloped within the Shroud, its citizens will begin to feel an uncharacteristic sense of anxiety, gnawing away at their very souls. Their sleep will be pervaded by terrible nightmares, which seem ever more real than their waking existence, and yet this is nothing compared to the suffering which will come to those who are sensitive to the flowing currents of the warp. Psykers, astropaths, or navigators will be driven to utter madness, with a horrific sensation of their very minds being devoured by a great entity whose appetite for flesh can never be sated. Aside from its effect on living creatures, the shadow in the warp will also disrupt everything which relies upon the immaterium for its regular function. So, for example, the light of the Astronomicon will be blocked off, and thus warp travel will become incredibly difficult, as the navigators will no longer be able to chart a clear course through the immaterial hellscape. Whilst this would obviously cause a great deal of calamity and confusion for the sentient species of the galaxy, I'm sure some of you would have pieced together the fact that this will also cause a significant disruption in the efficacy of beasts which found their homes within the infernal plane of the warp. Chaos cultists would struggle to manifest demonic incursions, as their connection with the immaterium would be blocked off by the tyrannic presence. Sorcerers and their acolytes would no longer be able to easily draw power from the wellspring of chaos, resulting in their conjurations and invocations being far less effective against the rapidly approaching hordes. Even demons themselves, once spawned onto a world enveloped within the shadow of the Hive fleets, would find their grasp upon reality to be rather tenuous. Some lesser demons may blink in and out of existence, whilst greater demonic entities may simply abandon the world, since this newfound sensation of weakness is most disturbing to the hell-spawned progeny of the dark gods. Now, with all this in mind, it is rather interesting that when we look upon Hive Fleet Kronos, that they appear to project the strongest and most potent shadow in the warp which has ever been encountered within the galaxy. This makes them something of an anathema to the scions of chaos, since their innate presence is enough to partially dispel and reject the immaterial legions from our plane of existence. What this means is that as the Hive fleet travels up through the cosmic scar of the Great Rift, that they may plunder the remaining biomass left upon worlds which had been abandoned to the warp. Demon worlds, once thought of as lost, could now have their surfaces dissolved and subsumed to feed the gargantuan fleets of bioships and writhing swarms of tyrannids. In addition, some reports have stated that the sheer power of the shadow in the warp emitted by Hive Fleet Kronos is so strong that it can actually cause small warp rifts and storms to shrink down, further reducing the capabilities of demonic forces who dwell within them. There is another important and interesting point which regards their selection of worlds. Due to the start of the Fourth Tyrannic War, the Imperium has been forced to redeploy many of its armed forces towards the Galactic West, as Hive Fleet Leviathan has redoubled its invasion through the sparsely defended areas of Segmentum Pacificus. Thanks to this, the Tyranids of Hive Fleet Kronos have been blessed to fall upon worlds which are no longer as defended as they were a century ago, and so they have had a relatively easy time in subduing and consuming the meek planetary defense forces which remained in this region of space. Due to a combination of attacking undefended Imperial worlds and of being able to claim planets from within the Great Rift, Kronos has been graced with a veritable feast of biomass to consume. This has allowed it to grow from what was originally a rather minor fleet into one which is truly gargantuan, and it has shown no signs of slowing in its relentless advance. This brings us to the second interesting adaptation of this Hive Fleet, and it would be in regards to its relation to Hive Fleet Leviathan. Rather typically, the various Hive Fleets of the galaxy will maintain a broad degree of separation from one another. Presumably, this is to ensure that they are not fighting over resources, and that each tendril has a sufficient volume of vibrant, fertile planets to invade and feast upon. It was long hypothesized that if two separate Hive Fleets were to converge upon a single point, then they would simply perceive the other bioforms as being yet another prey creature, leading to an inevitable conflict, with the stronger side coming out to subsume the biomass of the weaker Hive. This, however, has not been the case when it comes to Kronos and Leviathan. The two tendrils seem to have formed a strange, almost symbiotic relationship, where the fleet of Leviathan is actually supporting the growth and flourishment of its smaller cousin. Essentially, from what we have observed, splinter tendrils of Leviathan have outstretched themselves to invade dozens of worlds within Segmentum Ultima. But after quelling the planetary defense forces, the Hive Fleets will simply move on without having devoured the remaining biomass of the planet. At this point, splinter ships from Kronos will move in, where they will be able to set about the process of dissolving and consuming the nutritional plenitude of these abandoned worlds without needing to commit resources towards invading the planet themselves. This is quite a fascinating behavior, and we have a fairly strong theory as to why this occurs. Because the Hive Fleet of Kronos will typically invade worlds which have been inhabited by demons, they will never have the same stocks of biomass to feast upon after the battle has been won. Even though they are incredibly effective at combating the Neverborn, their capacity to kill demons does not translate into an ability to consume their immaterial flesh. Thus, as the Hive Fleet travels along the path of the Great Rift, it seems that it will eventually deplete itself of biomass until it simply fizzles out within the cold void of space. Somehow, we believe that the Hive Mind knows of this fate, and so the fleet of Leviathan has been leaving these half-consumed worlds for Kronos to devour, purely so that they never find themselves devoid of biomass. In return, Kronos provides a great benefit not only to Leviathan, but to all Hive Fleets within the galaxy. Since they have such a propensity towards targeting demons and worlds contained within the warp rifts, They are deterring other Tyranid fleets from wasting their own resources by attacking these same regions. Thus, the other fleets can remain focused on their own warpaths, all of which are known to contain a true treasure trove of biomass to be consumed. Because of this, we may speculate that as Kronos advances through the stars, that perhaps other Hive fleets will engage with them in this symbiotic nature, where they provide feeding worlds for them to feast upon, as some form of tithe for performing this demon-hunting duty. It is quite fascinating to observe this adapted interconnectedness between the fleets, and in some ways it could support the theory that the various hives are each just projections of a larger superhive, but this is something which we may never know the true answer to. Because this hive seems hell-bent on traveling up through the chaotic reaches of the Great Rift, it is no wonder that the Tyranids of Kronos have become incredibly well suited towards battling the many legions of demons who reside within the swell of the warp storms. This brings us to the third adaptation of this fleet, and it would be of their rather unique tactics in battling their demonic enemies. As I had previously stated, the shadow in the warp which is emitted by Hive Fleet Kronos is incredibly and unusually strong, and this imparts a significant hindrance to their enemies, whether they be mortal or immortal. Weaker humans and other aliens born of this galaxy will be reduced to gibbering wrecks of anxiety, and they will be simply unable to follow in the orders of their superiors, greatly reducing their effectiveness in a battle. Groups of cultists will break rank and flee in the desperate hope that they will be able to beg their gods for forgiveness rather than be consumed by the ever-devouring swarms bearing down upon them. For those who remain, their trembling hands will barely be able to hold their weapons straight, and the fearful bickering between their lines will invariably erupt into conflict, leading to further dismay amidst their kin. But aside from the general demoralizing nature of this, perhaps the more poignant effect of the shadow will be that it can disrupt the ability for the followers of Chaos to summon forth more demonic creatures from out of the warp. Once the inhabitants of a fallen world come to learn of the Tyranid approach, they will accelerate in their aims to break down the thin walls of reality in the hopes that a legion of the Neverborn stride out to act as their salvation. Unfortunately, however, their incantations and rituals will simply be lost in the occlusive, screeching clouds of the Tyranid's approach. Similarly, if any demons are already present upon the world, then they will be innately weakened, as their own connection to the warp will be somewhat blanketed, meaning that they themselves will be unable to act as the violent agents of death which they were always formed to be. There have even been reports that some of the lesser or weaker of demonic entities will actually be snuffed out of existence entirely once the Tyranid fleets come too close. However, the shadow in the warp is not the only tactic which the Tyranids will use against the forces of the Demonkin. After enduring through thousands of conflicts, ranging from small battles fought between single squads, all the way up to planet-consuming, apocalyptic wars, the Hive Mind has learned much of how the denizens of the warp engage in battle. And so, Kronos has developed some unique strategies for countering their methods. The first and most notable of these is something quite simple, and it is to avoid engaging themselves in close quarters combat with the Neverborn wherever possible. The Hive has witnessed the sheer ferocity and otherworldly violence which may be committed by the armies of the Chaos Demons, and so it would be too risky to try to outdo them in this art which they clearly are so specialized in. Conversely, however, the demons' capacity for ranged combat is somewhat less impressive. Because of this, the forces of Kronos have adopted a higher proportion of ranged units themselves, preferring to outgun and outdistance themselves against the legions of lesser demons. From this, it is not uncommon to find the Tyranids of Kronos as having arranged themselves into defensive clusters and crude gun lines with large, heavily armored warriors, firing their potent venom cannons out to melt down the immaterial demons into heaps of smoldering, smoking warp ash. Behind them, great biovores will steadily rain down salvos of bioplasma and their living missile spores to scatter the hell-spawned ranks into ruin. If one were to look down upon an active battlefield which involved the Kronos Tyranids from a bird's-eye view, they would see a vast storm of organic missiles, acidic globules, and biological weapons fire occluding the very ground itself. One of the more notable of biological adaptations which has been produced by these Tyranids would be from the development of a weapon named as the Balethorn Cannon. This is a variant of the commonly found barbed strangler, which fires out a small seed, and once this makes impact, it will rapidly burst out into a writhing mass of barbed and hooked vines, ensnaring and eviscerating all who are caught within its brambled growth. But the Balethorn variant is a far more potent weapon. The barbed tips of its growths are horrifically sharp, and in a rather fascinating way, they seem to grow towards whatever weaknesses are present upon a target. This means that the vines will coil and push through small gaps between armor plates, or wriggle their way past the glass visors of a helmet before burrowing into the poor victim's brain. Another strange feature of these growths is that they have been noted to adapt and shift in form to best cut through the material which they have latched themselves onto. So, for example, when wrapped around the thick walls of a ceramite-plated tank, they will sharpen themselves down to a monomolecular edge, allowing them to effortlessly slice through the armor. Conversely, when they have latched onto the flesh of a demonic entity, they seem to rapidly shift into a configuration which lets them cut deeply into the otherworldly flesh, making them into a rather unique weapon to be used against the forces of the warp. In addition to their physical weapons, the bioforms of Kronos have been seen to develop strange mutations which enhance and augment their psychic abilities. Most notably, we would have the peculiar bio-artifact, which has been named as a null node. This is a synaptic knot, which manifests itself within the skull of a greater Tyranid creature, and from this, it can channel and amplify the fleet's shadow in the warp, making it even more of an impossibility for the demonic legions to cling to life within this plane of reality. But it is important to note here that the Hive Fleet of Kronos does not exclusively target demonic forces. Whilst yes, they are heavily adapted towards doing so, it does not mean that they are in any way ineffective against the mortal species of the galaxy. In fact, due to their trail taken up along the Great Rift, they have now gained a rather rapacious hunger for the blood of any who hold a psychic connection to the warp. Quite often, when these Tyranids descend upon a world infested with demons, they will also encounter thousands of cultists who hold a latent link to the Immaterium, and invariably these poor fools will always find their ends within the digestion pods of a great bioship. Rather interestingly, however, it seems that the hive mind rather enjoys feasting upon these psionic creatures, and so it has been noted that splinter tendrils of Kronos will break off to follow in the trail of Eldari craft worlds. Since the delectable scent of the Infinity Circuit promises them a feast unlike any other. Since they often find themselves opposed to armies which would utilize psychic units, it is unsurprising that the Tyranids will have a rather stark advantage over them, all thanks to their suffocating projection of the shadow in the warp. Sorcerers, witches, and psychers, all of whom thought themselves as powerful figures, will find their abilities to be snuffed out by the terrible presence of the Tyranid fleets, and their own abilities will feel utterly useless when faced off against the might of the hive mind. Similarly, some of the larger Tyranid bioforms have developed a ravenous hunger for any psychic individuals, meaning that they will actively set out to hunt them down upon a battlefield. Once found, the Tyranids have been seen to channel the shadow in the warp to drain the life essence of the psyker out from their soul, leaving them as a barren and empty husk to be dissolved and consumed by the rest of the hive. Now that we have a better understanding as to the nature of Hive Fleet Kronos, let us explore some of the more notable of battles in which they have been embroiled with. As one may imagine, many of these involve the Scions of the Dark Gods, a foe which these Tyranids have spent many long years adapting themselves towards. The first to mention would be the major conflict known as the Second Battle of Shadowbrink. To understand this battle, we must first briefly discuss the fall of this world, which occurred during the later years of the 41st millennium. Shadowbrink had been a cathedral world, which contained a vast store of esoteric and warp-sensitive artifacts, kept under the watchful gaze of a permanent contingent of the mysterious Grey Knights. Unfortunately, however, this planet soon found itself facing off against a major tendril of Hive Fleet Leviathan, and due to the levels of death wrought by the swarms, a terrible artifact known as the Maelstrom Cradle had become activated, spawning a gaping warp rift from where the immaterial legions of the demon kin spilled forth from. The demonic incursion was eventually pushed back into the warp due to the pressing weight of the Hive Fleet, and the cathedral world was left as an abandoned rock, with any traces of biomass having been dissolved and subsumed by the forces of Leviathan. But this was not to be the end of the story of Shadowbrink. With the formation of the Great Rift, this barren husk of a world was enveloped by the Cicatrix Maledictum, and upon its surface, a host of demonic lords had clawed their way out of unreality to claim this abandoned jewel for themselves. We must remember that the Tyranids only consume biomass, and so many of the ancient relics and artifacts which had been stored within the vaults of Shadowbrink were still intact, and these would prove to be rather enticing for the demon princes. With the legions growing in power, it soon became clear that Shadowbrink was becoming something of a prize within the rift. The demonic lords ruled over vast armies, and the endless wellspring of warp energy produced from the surrounding storm allowed them to shape and contort the landscapes into whatever form that most pleased them. But from their emergent power, the world had slowly begun to shine like a beacon of psychic activity, and as we have all learnt, Hive Fleet Kronos has a penchant for pursuing signals such as these. As such, it did not take long until a major tendril of Kronos descended upon Shadowbrink, having been attracted to the growing warp energies like a moth to a flame. Making planetfall, the Tyranid forces were led by 8 separate neural nodes, being made up of the strange Maleceptors and Zoanthropes. From their arrangement, the psychic bioforms were able to channel and amplify the shadow in the warp, leading to a smothering blanket of null energy enveloping the entirety of the planet. Such was the suffocating aura produced from these creatures that the actual warp rifts and storms upon Shadowbrink began to flutter and blink out of existence. Enraged at such a turn of events, the greater demons of Khorne, who had chosen this planet as their hellish kingdom, gathered their crimson legions and made for a charge into the Tyranid hordes. Rather unfortunately for the Khorne demons, however, the Hive Fleet of Kronos, as we all know, prefers to avoid melee combat, and so the swarms simply pulled their forces back before unleashing torrents of bioweapons fire. Though the hides of a Khornet demon are incredibly tough, the bioacids and parasitic organisms fired from a Tyranid weapon are so effective that they were still able to gnaw their way through the demonic skins like a maggot eating into rotten flesh. These battles raged on for months, with the Tyranids continuously repositioning themselves to simply bury the demonic legions under the weight of their bioweapons fire. Eventually, it became clear that the hordes of Khorne were unable to counter the combination of their heavy weapons fire and of the suffocating aura of the shadow in the warp, resulting in the entirety of the demonic presence being forced back into the Immaterium, leaving Shadowbrink once more in the arms of the tyrannic menace. The second notable engagement, which Hive Fleet Kronos became embroiled within, involved a conflict with a detestable warband of the horrifying Nightlords. These followers of Chaos had come into the possession of an astropathic beacon, which shone so brightly within the darkness of the Immaterium that it could briefly be mistaken for the light of Holy Terror if one was close enough. As a result of this, ships which had become lost or cast astray within the tides of the warp may falsely believe that if they were to follow this light, then they would emerge within a bastion of safety. However, they were sorely mistaken. For any ships which pursued this light, they would be caught within the traps set by the Night Lords, and their poor lost souls would be sacrificed as an offering to the Dark Gods. With a beacon as bright as this, however, the fleets of Kronos were soon enthralled by its light, and a large tendril was redirected to investigate this fascinating glow. Once the Night Lords' warband realized that a Hive Fleet was approaching, they scattered out into the void, choosing to launch small, harrying attacks and raids against the forces of the Splinter Fleet in the hopes that it would force the bulk of the bioships to be redirected away from them. The Hive Mind, however, is most adept at countering foolish tactics such as these. The Tyranid fleet dispersed itself, stretching out across the void like a huge jaw from which there could be no salvation from if you were caught by its grips. The Night Lords, realizing their doom, chose to abandon their astropathic beacon, seeing it as the only available method for saving themselves from the Tyranid menace. As such, they jettisoned the device towards the fleet as a distraction, and they themselves rushed into the chaos of the warp, finally managing to escape from the jaws of the Hive Fleet. The third and final notable conflict to involve Hive Fleet Kronos has been named after the cosmic cloud in which it occurred, and so this would be known as the Battle of the Wolf's Head Nebula. Within the awe-inspiring gases of this celestial icon, the forces of the Imperial Navy were engaged with a large-scale confrontation with a gargantuan Chaos fleet of such size that if it was not stopped here, then it could potentially go on to carve a bloody path through the Segmenta for many decades to come. The Chief Imperial Admiral, a stoic and steadfast man who went by the name of Grosson, was incredibly skilled in positioning and utilizing his smaller force to outmaneuver and exploit the weaknesses of the Chaos Fleet. However, the tides were about to turn in a manner which favored neither side. A minor tendril of Kronos had emerged from the void, but it seemed that it had been drawn to this battle to claim a particular target. The bioships entirely avoided the Imperial fleet, choosing instead to spearhead their way towards the colossal capital ship of the Chaos Forces, a despoiler-class battleship named as the Harbinger of Desolation. We know very little about this stellar dreadnought, but we may speculate as to the reasons why the Kronos Tyranids were so attracted by its hellish aura. Perhaps this ship contained a huge contingent of sorcerers and cultists who were conjuring forth an ever-expanding warp rift, intended to carve a new scar of immaterial energy through the galaxy, spelling the deaths of countless worlds at the hands of the demon kin. Alternatively, maybe the ship was the home to a captured choir of imperial astropaths who, in a tortured state, had been forced to scream out a cacophonous ritual through the void, causing any imperial vessels within close proximity to become lost during their treacherous voyages through the warp. And from their misguided journey, they would almost certainly be condemned to death. But regardless of the true cause, the fleet of Kronos seemed to be infatuated by an unknown signal emitted from this capital ship, and so the great Tyranid vessels had charged out through the nebula before latching on and destroying this chaotic vessel. It had been utterly swarmed by smaller bioships, producing a visual which was akin to a tide of leeches having clamped themselves onto a great yet furious beast. The Imperial Admiral, seeing this as a most fortuitous moment of opportunity, ordered his fleet to unleash one final salvo against the chaotic ships before signaling for a mass retreat to occur, choosing to leave the chaotic forces to their certain deaths at the hands of the Tyranids, rather than seeking to face off against the reviled devourers themselves. The remaining forces of the Chaos Fleet were utterly demolished, with the tainted biomass contained within the vessel being doomed to meet their ends within the digestion chambers of the great bioships of Kronos. With this, we have now come to the conclusion of our sermon. Hive Fleet Kronos is an enigma within the Tyranid species, and its seemingly innate hunger for feasting upon foes, which would readily summon forth the immaterial forces of the warp, is rather confusing. And yet, as we have discussed, it seems to make a great deal of sense to the hive mind. The Gestalt consciousness of the Tyranids does not see the point in wasting the various hives of the galaxy in committing themselves against the hellspawn demons of the warp. And so for their species, it is a far more effective strategy to focus one single force towards combating these inedible and fiery foes. Before we depart, I will mention that the threat of Kronos has not gone unnoticed by the chaotic adherents of the cosmos. A warband of the Thousand Suns, named as the Cult of Manipulation, have conquered a slew of worlds, and upon them they have begun to immolate huge scores of prisoners in a vast and horrific ritual of death. These have all been performed in regions of space where it seems that Kronos is destined to reach. And so we can only speculate as to the reasons why these sorcerers are performing their actions. Perhaps it is to draw the fleet towards unimportant planets where they will not disrupt previously planned operations, but conversely, maybe the exalted sorcerers believe that it will somehow repel the hive away from this region, and that their ritual will act as a barrier against the devouring hordes. But regardless of their intentions, only time will tell to see if they have any impact on the wishes and directives of the hive mind. Truly, it seems that Hive Fleet Kronos exists as some form of weapon produced by the Tyranids to counter the malign forces of chaos. From what we have seen, it will continue in its barreling charge up through the path of the Great Rift, and if it survives its voyage through the cyclonic storm of the Maelstrom, perhaps it will one day reach the hellish portal of the Eye of Terror. We may only speculate as to whether or not its potent shadow in the warp will be powerful enough to subdue the raw and unbridled fury of this storm once it reaches it. but perhaps it will prove to be so strong that it dispels this nightmarish storm from existence, once and for all. My dearest friends, I thank you all for spending this time with me today, listening to the story of High Fleet Kronos. But for now, I hope you all have a pleasant day, and I must say goodbye.